Decades before the boxcar dwellers arrived in California, the gold rush brought another group of settlers westward from across the United States.
Open up that golden gate, California, here I come.
At the same time, another migration was flowing eastward. Over three decades, the country's Chinese population grew from 4,000 to more than 100,000. The immigrants who landed on California's shores followed the Transcontinental Railroad across the state, building pockets of community along the way. 150 years later, artist Rennie Young is developing a theater production based on the stories passed on from that time. She's traveling along the Transcontinental Railroad, and at each point along the way, she's sharing the tales she's gathered from that region on stage. She calls the project Chinese Whispers. It's actually another name for the game of telephone, which is all about how stories change from teller to teller.
It is the implicit, unspoken underside of history that I'm interested in. These kinds of forgotten pieces.
Young's Bay Area performance is called Chinese Whispers, Golden Gate. KALW's Erica Mu attended a workshop performance in San Francisco.
It's a brisk Sunday afternoon at Hyde Street Pier in San Francisco. Just past the edge of the dock, an old paddle steamboat called the Eureka bobs in the shallow water. People slowly make their way up the gangplank.
Are you here for the Chinese Whispers?
Yeah, how do you know that?
Yeah. Guessing, a lot of people. Everyone on board? Yes.
Okay, thanks.
At the time, Chinese were not allowed to be buried along with whites, so they had to have their own little cemeteries outside of town.
Rennie Young is the artistic and project director of Chinese Whispers. Her project has taken her all over the state, starting with the foothills of the Sierra Nevada, where, she says, the ghosts of the past have left many questions for the present.
So this young girl was taken to somewhere near a Chinese cemetery, and she remembered seeing the queues of the Chinese hanging in the trees.
A queue is a long braid traditionally worn by Chinese men. What does that mean?
I have no idea. I have never read about this anywhere. And did it mean that it was a sign of honoring? That the queue was important then in that you don't bury it? Was it that they saved it to sell? I have no idea.
The stories she's gathering center on the way Chinese immigrants survived in 19th century America. Some operated restaurants and grocery, hardware, and herbal stores in San Francisco. Others made and sold fish fertilizer. Shrimp fishing was huge, and a few enterprising individuals had side projects as well.
He had a restaurant in town. In fact, one of the buildings on the main street of Lock he built as his Chinese restaurant. And that is now Al the Wops, which is right next to the Zhen Yun Tong Hall. Therefore, right next door to his two illicit operations.
Kevin Lee is one of the storytellers on stage in today's workshop performance. He isn't telling the story of his own heritage. He's actually reading the words of Jeff Lee. Jeff Lee grew up in the city of Locke, and he now works in Santa Rosa. His family immigrated to the Bay Area in 1892. Kevin Lee's family has been in Oakland for 40 years. Offstage, he says that the story of the early Chinese in America is skeletal at best.
Going through the American school system, the only thing I knew was that the Chinese came over in waves, and that's it. But nothing's actually written been shared about what they actually the real historical piece of it, what their lives were like, how they felt, what they confronted.
How did they survive? How did they thrive? How did they not survive?
These are the questions that preoccupy Rennie Young.
It's part of almost like a investigative journalism combined with a very epic poem.
Young says that the common thread weaving many Bay Area stories together is the Chinese Exclusion Act. Passed in 1882, it was the first of many laws aimed at ending Chinese immigration completely.
Whereas, in the opinion of the government of the United States, the coming of Chinese laborers to this country endangers the good order of certain localities within the territory thereof.
People would tell me in their story, well, because of the Exclusion Act, he had to do this or he couldn't do that about an ancestor. or because of the Exclusion Act, they lost their family, their family business.
The law split many families on either side of the Pacific. Some purchased false papers to enter the U.S. Over time, those fake identities became their real ones. And those fluid transitions further complicated family histories.
My name is Ford Lee, but let me tell you that's not my real family name. My family name is Lim or Lum.
Ford Lee is another one of the workshop storytellers. He's the only one telling his own family story.
My father came over on false papers, merchant papers. My grandfather bought for him. So he came over as Lee Ho. That's why I'm Lee.
Many descendants like Lee only know bits and pieces of their family histories.
Actually, there are a lot of things I don't know about my family, and I wish that I had time to, now that I think about it, ask my mother, ask my father.
Even if he did ask, he may not have received an answer. Often, Chinese parents didn't want to share painful memories with their children. Other stories from that time period were lost because men who couldn't bring their families over had no one to pass them on to. Again, Rennie Young.
I believe the absences speak volumes and are much more powerful about telling the story of organized social amnesia than any single statement could make.
She said.
Chinese Whisper's Golden Gate is a practice in recognizing the value and pitfalls of a cultural story made up almost entirely of hearsay. Each tale is fragmentary. Voices come and go. Some stories are started and never finished. But each time a new person hears these stories, they all stay alive just a little longer. In San Francisco, I'm Erica Mu for Cross Currents.